The Greenhouse Effect is a weekly podcast hosted by youth pastor Avery Bowman. This podcast is for teens and their parents. Our goal is to encourage, support, and strengthen the home. Contrary to popular belief, one can survive in this present culture while maintaining a personal relationship with Jesus. Join us each week as we learn from God's Word. Here is your host, Avery Bowman.
I've been extremely excited to start the Greenhouse Effect, and here we are at episode number 2. I want to thank everybody for taking the opportunity to take time out of your day to listen to the Greenhouse Effect. And we are going to be talking about an enemy that we cannot see. This week has been an amazing week as I have been planning, preparing, and getting ready for our teen fall activity. On Saturday, I spent the day cutting firewood and getting ready for 30 to 40 teenagers that we're going to be having over to my parents' hobby farm there in Shiloh, Ohio. We're extremely excited about that. We've been planning for it and praying for it now for quite some time, and so we're extremely excited that it's finally here. So that will be the end of this week. We're extremely excited to be heading there to the farm and get to spend some time with the teenagers, so be praying for that. I know that the Lord has big heavenly plans for that, so it's going to be an awesome week there. I want to direct your attention to three different verses to steer our minds in the direction of thinking about an enemy that we cannot see. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, in verse number 18, the Bible says, "While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal." Hebrews 11:13 says, "These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth." Ephesians 6:12 is no unfamiliar verse to anyone, but it says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." And when you consider spiritual warfare, we need to begin with acknowledging that we are in a war. That's the first step in any understanding battles or wars, is that we have to understand and come to the reality in our minds that there really truly is a war. But battles make up a smaller component of a bigger picture. If you look at the definition, battles involve combat between two persons, between factions, between armies, and they consist of any type of extended content, struggles, or controversy. That's Merriam-Webster's definition of what a battle is. As Christians, we are in a spiritual battle of some sort on a daily basis. In warfare, battles are fought on different fronts for different reasons and with varying degrees of intensity. The same is true in spiritual warfare. Our spiritual battles and warfare are real, even though we don't physically always see them or necessarily even see the attacker. But we can educate ourselves on how the battles are fought and how they impact our lives on a daily basis. And I don't know about you, but I think it's easy to go through the day-to-day battles. It's easy to get frustrated at a boss or a coworker, or perhaps maybe even a sibling or somebody in our day-to-day lives, and we never really begin to think about where the root of that stemmed from. And honestly, at the very core of it all is a spiritual warfare. It's spiritual warfare. Matthew 28:18 says, "And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth." I want to give you a question to spark our conversation here today. But do you want all that God has for you here on this earth right now? Or do you want to wait until you get to heaven to receive victory and blessings. And honestly, when I was pondering that question and I was thinking about that, and when the Lord gave that to me, it's so true. Because we live our lives for the here and now. We live for going through the motions in our daily lives. We don't think about the eternal. And a lot of times we've heard it said that we just have fire insurance, that we got saved, we're going to heaven, and that's enough. And so we live like we're not even on our way to heaven. But our entire life is to bring glory and honor to the Lord. And so once we're saved, once we've accepted Christ as our personal Savior, then why would we not want to have victory in our everyday lives? But in order to have victory, we must pinpoint who our enemy truly is. Satan is your enemy, and he is the enemy of your family. He's not a respecter of persons, and he will do whatever it takes to deceive and manipulate an individual. I want you at this time to think about somebody in your family that you love and care about dearly, and think about somebody physically taking advantage of them, somebody physically hurting them, somebody physically abusing them. And even while I'm saying that, you're getting mad, you're getting upset, you're getting enraged. And why is that? Because nobody's going to touch fill in the blank, right? In your mind, you're already dialing 911. You're already going into attack mode. You're already pulling your gun, so to speak. But mom, dad, brother, sister, teen, whoever it is listening, so much more, Satan is attacking at rapid rates. He's hitting individuals at all-time highs. He has zero interest in who cares. And he is deceitful about it. He's sneaky about it. And we have to be able to expose his tactics. And that is what I want to discuss a little bit today as we get into this thing. And working with youth now for a little over 10 years, I have had a front row seat in watching Satan use worldly philosophies to attract young lives. I've seen young people graduate from high school, and I've seen them make Facebook posts about, I'm finally free. I've seen them post pictures of the buildings that they've grown up in and make the claims, I'm finally free from this horrible place. I'm finally free from the bondage of this horrible place. I've never felt more relieved than I do now. And they go away for a year or two, and then they come back and they look different and they're relieved. But what they don't understand is that they're entangled. And they get entangled considering the pros and cons and weighing out the options on the matter that are 100% in opposition of God's word. And that's what Satan's whole entire goal is that they got, is he's trying to trap teenagers with the entanglement of the philosophies of this world. But they do what hurts the most. They buy into the stock market of Satan and are 100% believers of something that they never would have thought. Satan is attracting young lives by the thousands. But the saddest reality is this, that Satan is attracting seasoned Christians to buy into this way also. We talk about teenagers a lot of times, and we talk about how they're falling into the snares of Satan, and Satan's drawing them in. But I'm seeing parents walk away at a rapid rate. I'm seeing parents that were never truly grounded and built up in Jesus Christ. So I want to have a word of prayer and ask God to make us vigilant and allow us to have discernment and wisdom in a day where there's no longer seems to be very much discernment. Lord, would you please give us an incredible amount of discernment so that we would be able to stand against the attacks of Satan, so that we would be able to stand in a time where it's not popular to do so. Lord, there's so many philosophies that are out today. There's so many different belief systems that are out today. And Lord, if we're not equipped, if we're not grounded, if we don't have spiritual discernment and wisdom from on high, we're going to have a hard time standing in today's day and age. Lord, I pray that we will get alone with you and make time with you on a daily basis. Lord, help us to draw nigh to you, and you've promised to then draw nigh to us. Give us an amazing day. In your precious name I pray. Amen. We have to open our eyes to the other world. As Christians, there is a complete other world out there, and we have to have the ability to recognize that. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says this. It says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." We have spiritual eyesight once we become new in Christ. But once we get that spiritual eyesight, if we don't use it, it's no good. In Ephesians 1, Paul wrote of his heart's desire and prayer for the Ephesian Christians. He wrote Ephesians 1:15-19. It says this, it says, "Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power." Paul prayed here in this passage of Scripture that the Christians' eyes of their understanding would be enlightened. His desire was for them to see the spiritual reality of what was happening around them. Wisdom of God through the knowledge of Christ was what Paul desired for them. And don't we need that today? Don't we need the wisdom of God through the knowledge of Christ? Man, we need that. My prayer is that his word would illuminate our hearts and minds to the reality of what is really happening in the lives of our teenagers today. But here's what I know. We can't have wisdom of God if we never touch our Bibles. We can't have the wisdom of God if we never pray. We can't have the wisdom of God if we're never seeking his face and asking from him. So many times we only focus on the physical and temporal priorities in our lives and in our families. But for whatever reason, we minimize spiritual matters in our minds and in our lives. For those of you listening today, take time for your families. Take time to invest in your own spiritual well-being, because this is the thing. Your family needs it. Dad out there that might be listening to this podcast, make time alone with God. Some of you might have physical goals of getting in shape, but much more so, make sure you set some spiritual goals. Make sure that you're getting your mental abilities right, your spiritual abilities right. Make sure you're setting those priorities in place. Because It doesn't matter how physically fit you are if you're leaving your kids in the dust. So let me challenge you. The Christian home is falling away at a rapid rate. And it's not because of the world. It's not because of the influences of the world. But it's because that we're catering to the world. It's because that we're not standing up and we're not taking initiative and leadership and personal responsibility. And all really, these are all common sense things, but we're not putting these things into practice on a daily basis. We're not taking the discipline to do these things each and every day. So my challenge to you is, you don't have to read the entire Bible. You don't have to conquer an entire commentary. But just start with 10 minutes a night with your family. Set a reminder on your phone that each night at 9 o'clock, we're just going to have family prayer and we're going to read a Proverbs a day. I'll tell you, our family routine looks a little bit like this each and every night. At 8:45, I have a reminder that goes off on my phone and it says family devotions. We sit down in the living room. I turn on the Apple TV. We go to the Bible app and I play the Proverbs of the day. And the boys sit there. They absolutely love it. We listen to the Proverbs of the day. After the Proverbs of the day, Cooper or Graham, one of the two, will say, what prayer request do you have? They'll lead prayer request. And then Cooper will pray. Then Graham will pray. Then Holly will pray. And then I will pray. And then we'll go to bed. It's nothing crazy, but I'm nothing special. But we have to be intentional about this thing. We have to make it a point. It's just a time where a lot of times that'll lead into some conversation. They'll pray for an individual that's hurting or needing something. They'll talk about maybe somebody at school needs a specific prayer request. They'll ask certain questions. They're 4 years old. They just turned four, but it sparks conversation. But we have to have those conversations because, again, the world's philosophies are strong. And these conversations at this age, at 4 years old, if we can root them in God's word and have biblical grounding and they can see it for themselves now, then that will give them a understanding at a very young age and they can make it their own. It's not just dad's religion. It's not just mom's religion. I'm afraid that religion isn't working anymore. Processes and systems aren't working anymore. Anything outside of a personal relationship with Jesus Christ is the only thing that will work. And if we don't personally have that as a mom and a dad in our own life, that's where it all has to start. So don't be discouraged. Don't be hard on yourself. Let's just improve. Let's get better on a daily basis. And our kids are worth it. The hard work and the dedication and setting reminders on your phone because you're busy. Hey, give yourself some grace. It's okay. Give yourself some grace. Understand that you're busy. And let's try to just do better. Just do a little better each and every day. That's my heart for you today on episode number 2. Hey, there is an unseen enemy out there, and we're going to keep attacking him and fighting him. And I love the words, when he brings up your past, hey, bring up his future. Guess what? He's conquered. He's going to be defeated. He's not going to rule this world. He walks about seeking whom he may devour right now. But guess what? The blood of Jesus is going to conquer him. He's going to step on his head. He's not going to win in the end. We are more than conquerors through Jesus Christ. Have a blessed day. Have an amazing day and keep on fighting for your kids. I promise you, they're worth every single second of investment that you give.
Thank you for listening. Please subscribe to the podcast so you don't miss an episode. While you're at it, leave us a rating and review. The greatest trick Satan has ever pulled is convincing the world he does not exist. We have to live in light of the reality that he walks about seeking whom he may devour. He is alive and well today. Remember to work out your salvation today. May God bless you richly as you seek to walk with him.